Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The McKnight Center for the Performing Arts in Stillwater is still under construction, but already the cultural programming that will be affiliated with the new center is underway, with its second chamber music festival taking place in homes in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Stillwater, and Dallas next week. There'll also be a free concert in Stillwater on March 2nd. This year's festival will feature pianist Anne-Marie McDermott, the St. Lawrence Quartet, flutist Tara Helen O'Connor, and violinist Alexander Carr. The musician's soiree concerts, as they're called, in Tulsa will take place next Wednesday, featuring the music of Haydn. And it'll give patrons a preview of the programming of the McKnight Center when it opens in October, when it'll open with a week-long residency by the New York Philharmonic. The center hopes to draw audiences from a wide region for top-quality performances in a 21st-century design theater complex with multimedia capabilities that will enhance an audience member's experience. Mark Blakeman is the executive director of the McKnight Center, who has extensive experience as an administrative director at the Tucson Symphony and the Nashville Symphony, and he joins us today to talk about the new center and its programming. Mark Blakeman, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate that.
This is the second year for the McKnight Center Chamber Music Festival, which it's interesting that it's the McKnight Center because the McKnight Center is still under construction in Stillwater, but this Chamber Music Festival has started basically, you've taken a salon model as a way to, I guess, build interest in the building once it opens next fall?
We have. So the McKnight Center, still under construction, will be substantially complete in May of this year, and then we open in October. And I have had a background in symphony orchestra management, and, you know, I'm accustomed to presenting, producing an abundance of concerts each year in my previous positions. I was with the Nashville Symphony for a number of years, and that orchestra produces about 160 concerts a year. And then I was at the Tucson Symphony, which was producing 60 or 70 concerts a year. So I went from that to building a building, no concerts to give to the community, which felt very awkward to me at first. And I realized I really didn't want to wait for us to start concertizing. This was an opportunity for us to get out into the community and start to introduce them into the work that we'd be doing day in and day out at the McKnight Center. And we felt like a good way to do that would be to start a chamber music festival. So we started with our first festival in April of 2018. So the festival that's coming up in a week is our second annual, and we're already in the planning stages for our third festival, which will be the first one at the McKnight Center after it opens. And really what we wanted to do, Rich, was start to introduce people to this template that we will carry out at the McKnight Center, where we're bringing in world-class artists. We're presenting them in a very intimate environment. And when we talk a little bit about the facility, I can share some details, but that's really kind of one of the hallmarks of the McKnight Center is the incredible intimacy there. And so we thought, well, house concerts, I mean, that's a tradition that's been around for hundreds of years. So we tapped Anne-Marie McDermott, who many people will know as a concert pianist and chamber musician and artistic director of some different festivals around the country, maybe most notably Bravo Vale.
And, of course, she also has a long history in this part of the country.
She does.
She made a lot of appearances in Tulsa and OK Mozart Festival
for many years. So Anne-Marie came in as our artistic director. I'm happy to say she's coming back for the second festival and has made a commitment to the third festival. And she handpicked last spring a collection of musicians from across North America to come to Stillwater in residency, essentially. And we did a series of house concerts, and we did what in the orchestra business we'd call runouts. Not having our own facility yet, we felt like the best thing to do was to take the musicians out to other communities so that we could start to demonstrate this work. So we started with, we performed in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and numerous concerts in Stillwater last year. And so we're doing that again with the second festival. And in addition to that, part of that template that we want to be able to share with people is that as we are inviting artists to perform as part of the McKnight Center, we simultaneously ask them to be part of learning opportunities for students as well. So also within the festival context, all of our visiting artists will be teaching on the OSU campus. So we have a multitude of master classes that will be occurring. They're all open to the public, but they're for the benefit of OSU music students. And we also started our partnership with Stillwater Public Schools, and our very first program for them was last spring during the festival, and we presented a YPC, young people's type of concert, as part of the festival, and we invited all sixth graders from Stillwater Public Schools to come to campus for a great program that really used music and talked about how music is a great communicator in telling stories. Mm-hmm. So it was a thematic program in that regard. And it's a great way for us to demonstrate to people the kind of totality of the work that we want to do once the center's open, how we want to bring world-class artists in. We have this very intimate environment in which they will perform. So great experience for those that are attending concerts there, but also that there's a really important educational component in everything that we're doing.
Before we talk about the center itself, let's talk a little bit about the event in Tulsa and this year's Chamber Music Festival. The Tulsa event will take place Tuesday evening, February 26th, featuring the music of Haydn. Anne-Marie McDermott will be joined by flutist Tara Helen O'Connor and the St. Lawrence Quartet. And these are your artists for this year.
That's right. And also Alexander Carr, who some may know, who's the concertmaster of the Dallas Symphony. You know, these performances, the tradition of house concerts, obviously, is that there's this great intimacy involved. It's very personal and relatively informal. What's really delightful about these soirees, as we call them, you know, great music pairs wonderfully with incredible food and wine and drink. And so that's the format for all of these house concerts. We start off with a small reception, and then we do a relatively short program, about an hour long, followed by a full meal. And all of our visiting artists are placed, they're seated with our guests for dinner. And I think that that is probably one of the more impactful elements that our patrons who attend these events kind of get it as a takeaway. They really get to know these artists. So they meet these amazing, incredible performers who are playing all over the globe. They get to spend time after the performance having dinner with them, really getting to know them, finding out who they are as a person, their career trajectory, what their artistic endeavors are. And it's been really fun to watch that blossom, because a number of my patrons, my donors from the festival last year, has started to forge relationships with these folks. So now I see these artists from our first festival on social media interacting with our patrons, which I think is really, really neat. And the Tulsa Soiree is the first performance of the festival. Each program is thematic, and so this is called Papa Haydn. And, you know, he's very much kind of seen as the patriarch of the chamber music repertoire. And so there's a great program that incorporates all of our visiting artists. So everyone that's coming in plays a part in the program, and everything is related, either a Haydn work or in some way ties to that thematically.
I would imagine these little dinners are fundraising events and probably have a ticket price to accompany that, but I do know that there are still tickets available for the Tulsa event. But in addition to that, you're going to have a community concert, which takes place at the end of the residency on March 2nd, correct?
That's right. That's an important part, I think, for any arts organization. Certainly, I think that, you know, nonprofits tend to excel and really blossom when they are working to engage the broader community. And so we have been ending the Chamber Music Festival with a free performance on the OSU campus. It's Saturday, March 2. It's at the Saratine Center on campus. This is a way for us to share great music with no barriers, no financial barriers at all. Anyone can attend that would like to attend. And all the information is available on our website, mcknightcenter.org. For those that would want to attend the free community concert, we ask them to go online and register for their tickets just so that we know who to expect.
And I assume this Chamber Music Festival will be a major event of the McKnight Center once it opens in October, correct?
That's right. We'll keep doing this each year. You know, I think that we have Anne-Marie coming back for a number of years as our artistic director. When we open the McKnight Center, we don't intend to continue to do these runouts to other communities. Right. Our goal, of course, is to bring people to Stillwater to have this experience. And so the soiree event, the house concert type event, is actually going to take place on the main stage of the McKnight Center. So again, very intimate. We'll do dinner seating, but everybody will be seated on stage with the performers, which I think is a great experience. A lot of folks don't get to be on a stage. And so that's a really fun way to continue this soiree tradition and this real intimacy and keep the dinner component to it, and that very personal aspect of engaging with the musicians, but we'll be able to do it on stage when the facility opens.
Tell us a little bit about the building itself, because you've mentioned the word intimate a number of times, and for a performing arts center, it probably is a little on the intimate side. It's a little over 1,000 seats, I think.
That's right.
For the main auditorium. It sounds like it also has a broader mission than being simply a home for the Oklahoma State University music program.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the mission and the center itself.
So we're working to position the McKnight Center as an art and culture destination for the region. And we really see ourselves as serving the entire state of Oklahoma and beyond. We're, you know, one of the soirees for the Chamber Music Festival next week goes to Dallas, for instance. So we're already starting to do work in Dallas and Wichita as well, Oklahoma City and Tulsa. And so we are thinking much bigger than simply serving the OSU community or the Stillwater community. And the way that we're thinking about how we position ourselves from a brand standpoint is really exceptional, world-class artists, but in this intimate environment. And we have three different performance spaces in the McKnight Center. Well, two are inside the facility. The performance hall, which you just mentioned, is 1,134 seats, and it, by technical definition, is an opera house with a full stage house, fly system, orchestra pit that can hold up to 80 musicians. And then we have a dedicated recital hall, which really is geared almost exclusively toward musical presentations. Then we have an outdoor plaza, a green space, where we can share performances outside. And the whole facility is networked with a lot of technology. So all of the performance spaces have high-definition robotic cameras where we can take content that's happening on a stage in one part of the building and share it with other parts of the building, like the outdoor plaza, which has a 32-foot LED wall.
Wow.
So performances that are happening in either the performance hall or recital hall can go outside to the plaza, and we can serve another 500-600 people. And again, that's barrier-free access to the performances that we're doing. And we use that technology to share content across the facility. We, of course, can use the same technology and send those performances outside of the facility through Facebook Live and webcasts and different broadcast channels. And we can also use that technology and other technologies that we have in the building to enhance the experience of the concert goer. You know, 1,100 seats is not that many seats when you think about it. From a production standpoint, we have the capability to accommodate very large productions, very large touring productions. We have a small Broadway series planned. We've got all of the technical bells and whistles to do really complex performances. But with 1,100 seats, you're able to see amazing artists, but in a very small audience chamber. And I think that makes it very, very special. The performance hall has its own LED walls inside the performance hall. So house left and right, there are LED walls where we can use our robotic cameras and show close-ups of our performers. So in one of the best example that I've shared with people is, you know, if you love great piano music, historically you'd sit on house left, and then a guy like me would probably raise the prices on that side of the house because we know that people want to sit over there so they can see the keyboard. But, you know, we could put a camera on the bass end of the keyboard going down the keys, and we can use that technology to put the hands of the pianist on those LED walls, and we can give everybody this really amazing experience by using this technology. And so I'm just really excited about how the technology has been incorporated across the center and how we'll be able to use that to give people incredible experiences, not only those that are in attendance, but also people who aren't there or who are out in the plaza or who might be watching, you know, live on the internet or something like that.
Do you anticipate that the McKnight Center will be a producing organization where you're producing electronic media or mass media via digital or, you know, the traditional forms?
I think the answer is yes. In our first season, we're really presenting, but I think that for me as the executive director, my long-term goal is that we really would start producing. And so in our second season, we're talking with some artists about some different projects, maybe where they would come in and workshop a particular project before maybe they take it on tour across the country, or some electronic media capture. We are going to do some high-res recording of our Chamber Music Festival that's coming up next week, and we'll be submitting those recordings for audition for potentially some syndicated national radio broadcasts as well.
My guest today is Mark Blakeman. He is the executive director of the McKnight Center for the Performing Arts at Stillwater at Oklahoma State University. Their second Chamber Music Festival takes place in a salon setting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Stillwater, and Dallas this coming week. And, of course, there'll also be a free public concert at the Old Saratine Center at OSU on March 2nd. That's free, but you have to get reservations. You can learn more at McKnightCenter.org. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. We should mention the opening of the building, which will be taking place officially in October, and you're opening with a bang. You're going to have the New York Philharmonic in for a week-long residency.
That's right. That's right. It's amazing. And my background is in orchestra management. So this idea that I get to open the facility with the New York Philharmonic, the oldest orchestra in the U.S., is really incredible. It is part of a residency. Again, talking about the template that we're rolled out with the Chamber Music Festival, that very much applies to artists that are going to be performing at the McKnight Center, and the New York Phil is no exception. We have three different concerts that they will present, October 11, 12, and 13, with guest soloists for all three programs. We haven't announced the programs yet, but in addition to those events, the musicians of the New York Phil will be teaching. They'll be doing master classes for every instrument in the orchestra. We're also talking about some chamber music, a young people's concert, maybe some pop-up concerts, possibly some lecture topics. And so over a three to four-day period, we have about 25 different events to produce. And again, you know, that's the model that we're pursuing, world-class artists performing in this very unique, intimate environment, but also creating learning opportunities, not just for the students at OSU, but also the primary and secondary students here in Stillwater. And March 2nd, which happens to be the same day, it's going to be a very busy day, same day as our free community concert that starts to wrap up our Chamber Music Festival, March 2nd, we will announce our full season lineup for our inaugural season, and we start in October with the New York Philharmonic. We're working toward building a series that has some diversity to it between the recital hall and the performance hall. We have about 25 performances, Rich, and there's a variety of things in there. We have a small Broadway series planned. We have a major jazz group coming in from New Orleans. We have a Cirque show coming in. We've got a Valentine's special. We have a film project that we're bringing in as well. So we're trying to provide, within those 25 performances, a fair amount of diversity. It allows us to really test the building. We start to learn over a period of time what really works well in different spaces and how we can really capitalize on the technology and the different design elements of the facility. And it also gives us the opportunity to present a lot of different things, and we start to, over a period of time, understand better what the appetite is of our different constituent groups and different markets in this area for different types of programs.
That's one question I had. It sounds like it's very heavily art music focused, classical music oriented, But is the building going to be multi-purpose in all types of music, all types of arts events?
There's a variety of different musical genres represented in the first season. I have to say, 25 performances feels right to me. It's not a lot of performances in the grand scheme of things. So we've really been focused on quality and not quantity, and picking the right things and providing the type of diversity that we want to be able to present to the community. The building has the capability really to do, I would say, a much wider range of things than what we currently have programmed. And over time, we'll be pursuing different genres, different art forms. The stage has a sprung floor to it, so certainly we can accommodate touring Broadway shows.
Or dance.
Dance companies, I think, are in the future for the McKnight Center as well. The possibility of producing some opera is, I think, in the future as well. So we can really do a pretty wide range of things, and I want to see us capitalize on that technology. One of the features of the facility that I hope to see us use very quickly after we open is we have a very robust, high-definition video projection system, and there are more music theater and opera companies that are starting to use projection in their set design. And I had the good fortune to attend the Santa Fe Opera summer before last. I saw the world premiere of The Revolution of Steve Jobs. And that production, the music was written by Mason Bates, and that stage production, almost the entire set design was projection. And it was just amazing to see kind of what I felt was this infinite possibilities of creativity by using this technology and incorporate it into the set design for the production. And those are the kinds of things that over time, as we really build our institution and our brand and partnerships with different arts organizations around the country, that I think we'll be able to capitalize on those things and bring really interesting and unique things to Stillwater and OSU.
What about partnerships with more regional and local organizations? You have two symphonies in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. You have a chamber music series in both. Do you anticipate collaborations with some of these existing organizations?
I do. We don't have a lot of that in our first season, but I'm originally from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so I've been gone for a number of years, about 20 years, and coming back has been really incredible for me. And kind of reconnecting with the arts organizations across Oklahoma has been a high priority for me. So building strong relationships with the orchestras in Oklahoma City and Tulsa have been a high priority, with the ballet companies, with the opera as well, and other institutions. And so I do see us doing that. We have talked to a number of arts organizations in Tulsa and Oklahoma City about collaborating with them, either bringing their main stage performances to the McKnight Center. In some cases, these are organizations that have really exceptional education programs, and that's another way that we might utilize some of the arts organizations across the state, is to bring their education programs to Stillwater to serve the primary and secondary students here. That allows us to essentially kind of co-opt great programs that already exist, and we've been looking at partnerships on a national level as well, in addition to deepening our relationship with the New York Philharmonic, because we've presented one of their principal players on campus as a soloist with the OSU Symphony Orchestra. And April 18th, we have the principal trumpet, Christopher Martin, coming to perform with the OSU Wind Ensemble. But in addition to that, we anticipate being a partner with Carnegie Hall. They have a great education program called Link Up,
yes,
which is already utilized by the orchestra, the Tulsa
Symphony,
and the Oklahoma City Philharmonic as well. And so we anticipate bringing that program to the McKnight Center as well.
So it sounds like the McKnight Center will be, yes, it will serve OSU, but it will serve the community and perhaps the region with, outstanding music productions that, yes, we'll reach OSU students, but we'll reach the community at large. That's the focus.
It will, and that's certainly our goal. I'm fortunate to have an incredible board that thinks very big, and President Hargis, the president of Oklahoma State University, he's an amateur jazz pianist and a great advocate of the arts, and it was his vision to bring the McKnight Center to life. And it's really part of a multi-pronged strategy for elevating the art and culture component of the OSU brand. They opened a new museum here in Stillwater about 5 years ago. The McKnight Center opens this fall. Later this year, a new school of music will start construction, the Greenwood School of Music, which will adjoin to the McKnight Center. So those two facilities will be neighbors connecting the two buildings. And then there's another parcel of land that hasn't been finalized yet, but we think that there may be another component to the arts campus that's being built here. So the infrastructure and the facility has really been the vision of President Hargis. Mr. McKnight, Ross and Billy McKnight, have been very involved in the center's development, and their passion has really been the programming aspect. And so they gave a leadership gift to start an endowment for the McKnight Center, and it's specifically earmarked for programming. And in a facility that has only 1,100 seats, the traditional business model for a performing arts center doesn't really work because it's driven by capacity. And so this programming endowment, in combination with a state-of-the-art facility, it really gives us all the ingredients necessary to bring something really, really special and transformational to the state of Oklahoma. And it's I'm not aware of another facility that's opened in the last two or three decades that has opened with its own programming endowment, and certainly that is the economic engine that helps make the McKnight Center a reality.
Well, Mark Blakeman, we wish you great success. If people want more information about the Chamber Music Series, either the free concert or the salon concerts or the soiree concerts, how do they get information?
Please visit our website, McKnightCenter.org. You can get information about the Chamber Music Festival. There's information about Christopher Martin, principal trumpet of the New York Phil. He'll be performing on campus April 18th. You can find that there. And if you want to get on our mailing list, you can go to our website and give us your information, and you will automatically start receiving notifications about upcoming concerts. And when we do our season announcement on March 2nd, you'll be one of the first people to learn about the details.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Mark Blakeman is the executive director of the McKnight Center for the Performing Arts at OSU, which is currently under construction. Their second Chamber Music Festival, though, will be taking place this next week with concerts in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Stillwater, and Dallas. For more information on the Performing Arts Center and its Chamber Music Series, visit McKnightCenter.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.